Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church, Boston. Aletheia exists to bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. For more information, visit aletheia.org.
Everyone, we are continuing in our teaching series in the book of Romans, and this week we are in Romans chapter 13. And so wherever you are, if you have a Bible, you can open it to Romans chapter 13, or you can use the Bible feature inside this online platform. I'm going to read, we'll pray, and then God's going to speak to us through his word. Romans chapter 13, the whole chapter. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is God's word. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us today as we think about your word and as we seek to be people who respond to it. Some of the people listening to this sermon right now are followers of Jesus and filled with faith. Lord, would you bless them and encourage them in this moment where culture and the news is pretty frenetic. Father, some are watching today that are filled with fear. Lord, would you bring peace? Some are here today and they're angry or they're apathetic. God, you know where all of us are. Would you meet us there? And would you show us, God, how we as your people honor other people? We love you, God. Help us. Amen. I don't know what you think of when you hear the commandment to honor one another, but I think, right. I don't think that that the invitation to honor another person sounds very feasible. Now, maybe you're a nice person, and for you, being kind to others sort of comes naturally, but that's not been my experience of myself. And so from a little guy, I was always someone that struggled to show respect to elders, that struggled to be polite. Being raised in the South, I was even taught by my parents and my grandparents to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I just thought the whole thing was silly. I thought that the impulse or the command to honor someone was crazy. And so I struggled to do it. Some of you are very similar. Some of you listening to this right now are the kind of people like me that you're like, man, I don't feel inclined to honor others. And others of you are much more, you know, the kind of people who just like to go along to get along, or maybe even use compliments and honor to sort of get through life. What I want to show you today is how gospel-shaped honor is not like any of that. And I think what Paul wants to show us from the text today is that if we belong to Jesus, if we are gospel people, then gospel people honor people. Now, I can already hear the pushback. I can already hear you saying to yourself, okay, yeah, but if you want me to honor someone, especially if you want me to honor like Paul said, the people in authority over me. I'm not going to do that. But this is especially hard for Americans because we always want to look for the loophole of like, well, but when is it appropriate to push back on those in authority over us? When is it appropriate not to just merely obey them? When do we have to speak truth to power? And that's a very good question, but that's not a question that this text actually talks about. And so I want to invite you to pause that question because there are whole parts of the Bible that tell us how to do that faithfully, how to be a prophetic voice when we are under an unjust ruler. But today, Paul wants to talk to us about something else. He wants to talk to us about how gospel people honor people. So if I can invite you to slow down the anxiety and the fear of what that might mean, just listen to the text a little bit. The other thing I can point out as a defeater or a problem with this particular commandment is the fact that right now, in our current cultural moment, we find power to be the gold standard, and the idea of honoring someone or letting go of our power, particularly our power to critique them, seems a terrible idea. But remember, that's only true in this world. That's only true in this kingdom. If we belong to King Jesus, we've been born again into another kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, the currency isn't power. In the kingdom of God, the currency is love and honor. So if we can lay aside what our natural sort of American proclivity would have to say to the commandments or to the encouragement to honor others, let's listen to how Romans 13 would shape us to be more like God's people. I want to show you how gospel people honor people and how that breaks down in the thought of the Apostle Paul. Now, Romans 13 has been used and abused by rulers and governments and authorities to basically say to Christian people, just sit down, shut up, be quiet, and listen. But that's not what this text is for. This text is not written to those in authority. This text is written to those under authority. Remember, Paul's writing to a people who are oppressed under a government that was extremely unjust and oppressive. And he's writing to those of us who feel that way about how we should posture our hearts. So remember what he says. For every person should be subject to the governing authorities. There's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, if we resist the authority, we resist God. The first big idea I want to show you is that gospel people honor the authorities over us. We're told here by the Apostle Paul in this first chunk of text, verses 1 to 6, that there's a naturally rebellious sort of attitude innate in every human. And in order to be gospel people, we actually have to sign up to be the best citizens possible. Now, depending on when and where you live, that sounds like maybe better or worse news. But the reality is, God is saying to us that when someone's in office that we like, or when someone is in office that we don't like, he's still sovereign over that ruler or those authorities or that president or those judges or those congressmen, and he is exercising his authority through them, maybe even very often despite them. But because of that, we as God's people are to honor them. Gospel people honor people. First, the people who are in authority over us. He warns us, listen, don't be the kind of person who is a grumpy or non-participatory citizen. Be the kind of person upon whom, whether you're under an oppressive regime or you're under the best regime imaginable, we, God's people, are to be the kind of people who are the best citizens, who show up first, who stay late, who are doing our civic duties, who, even in a time like this, in our nation, when we are going through all of this tension with COVID-19, how we're going to help, we should be the people showing up to serve first and to listen first, to pray first, to give first, the people upon whom any government can depend, because gospel people honor people. Even the people, and especially the people that God has put in authority over us. Now, that takes us to the second idea. The scriptures say here that we are to pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. So it's not only the case that gospel people honor the authorities over us, but it's also the case that gospel people honor the ones that we owe. That means if you belong to King Jesus, you have to pay your bills on time. If you belong to King Jesus and you're a business owner, you need to pay the people who work for you what they're owed. We are to be people who enhance the justness and enhance the goodness of society by being faithful with our money, by being faithful with the dividends that we make, by being faithful with our tithe, by being faithful to owe no one anything except that we love them. I can remember very recently getting a phone call from my dentist. This phone call came from the financial administrator there in my dentist's office, and she left me a message, and she was quite irate. And as I listened, it was understandable why she was upset, because I owed her like $900 that apparently she'd been billing me for. She'd been sending letters and stuff, and through just frankly an internal miscommunication, I'd totally forgotten to pay her. But when I called to pay, she was a little miffed, and I felt deeply convicted, actually, by this text. And I apologized, and I said, listen, this is not the kind of person I hope to be, and I very much am sorry for putting any financial strain on the organization. Now, I don't tell you that story so that you go, oh, Pastor Adam's a great guy, but to tell you that story and let you know that sometimes we just have to check, like, are we paying our bills on time? Are we showing honor to those who provide us goods and services? Because gospel people honor people. We honor those in authority over us by being great citizens, but we honor those in among whom we engage in commerce by paying them what we owe them on time and by responding to them in a way that good citizens ought to and gospel-shaped people must. So, gospel people honor the authorities over us. We honor the ones that we owe. Let's keep reading. Verse 8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, they're all summed up by this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Listen, gospel people don't just honor authority and people that we owe things to. We are actually supposed to be the kind of people who love our neighbor as ourself. Today, as you're watching this, we're not gathering. And this week, as we thought about whether or not to gather, the questions were, you know, how are we going to respond to the advice of public health officials? You know, what's it going to do to our church programs? I'm thinking about all of this as we're listening to our staff. But the most important question that finally came to the top was, what's the most loving way right now as a church for us to love our neighbors? And listening to the best health advice that we could, we decided, well, as much as we love to get together, the best way we can love our neighbors is actually to bring them the gospel and bring them a great church service online, but to ask them not to show up because we want to be the kind of people who help slow down this the growth of this infectious disease. Now, that's a small price to pay for us just really for a couple of weeks, but I wonder what's it going to cost you to honor your neighbor? What's it going to cost you to honor your neighbor, especially the neighbors that you don't like? Honoring your neighbor is, of course, the subject of Jesus' whole parable about the Good Samaritan. It was easy for the Jewish rabbi and the priest and the people inside the Jewish rabbinical community in that story to love one another. But when it came to loving a dirty, hurt, wounded Samaritan, an enemy of the Jewish people, people who believed totally wrong things, who'd taken the purity of the Jewish scriptures and twisted them and morphed them with local pagan worship, they had all the reason in the world to dishonor them, to dislike them, to not want to invite them into their religious community, and especially not show them kindness. But here's the thing. If God has shown us kindness through his son Jesus, if he's honored us who were not his neighbor, if he's honored us who have dishonored him, then we have to honor others. We have to be the kind of people who honor not just those who look like us and sound like us and vote like us and act like us. We have to honor our neighbors. Gospel people honor the people around them. So we are to owe no one anything except to love them. So this week, even as things are a little weird, what's it going to look like for you sitting at home or watching this on your mobile device? What's it going to look like for you to honor your neighbors, the ones who look like you and the ones who don't? This election season, as our nation is deciding on a new president and new representatives and senators, what's it going to look like for you to honor Democrats and Republicans? What's it going to look like for you to honor the current president and the next president? Because if you belong to King Jesus, honoring these people is not an option. It is a command. It is, in fact, the very way we embody gospel fidelity. Gospel people honor people, even and especially those who are our neighbors. And finally, let's look at the last few verses, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. For the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We've talked a lot about what gospel people do. We honor those in authority over us. We honor those that we owe and that we engage in commerce with. And we honor our neighbors, whether they're like us or they're not like us. But here in this last part, Paul shows us why. Why it is that we as gospel people honor people. And it's all about God, and ironically, not the people. You see, the reason that I'm called to honor you, whether I like you or don't like you, isn't really about you. The reason I'm called to honor you is because of the God who stands behind you, the God who made you, the God whose image you bear, and the God who, because of Jesus' resurrection, I, as a resurrecting son, as a gospel person, that God I will one day meet. And so my honoring of you, whether you're like me or not, whether you vote like me or don't, whether you look like me or don't, whether you think like me or don't, whether you spin like me or don't, I'm on the hook to honor you, not because of you. It's not because that just makes society better. It's not because I'll, you know, win friends and influence people. It's not because, you know, you go along to get along. That's not the reason God's word calls us to honor others. Gospel people honor people with an eye to the resurrection. We'll never honor one another well, actually, if we try to base that honor on one another, because at some point, we're going to act dishonorably. And as soon as someone acts dishonorably, then we get in this negative cycle of someone acting dishonorably, so we dishonor them, but then we've acted dishonorably, so we're dishonored, and then there's just no way off that downward spiral. But if we're gospel people and we have been honored by the life and the death and the resurrection of King Jesus, then the reason we honor others is because we have been so honored by God. So with an eye to God and a vision for the resurrected future where human society is renewed by God, by faith in the gospel, where evil is extinguished, where disease is no more, and the Spirit is fully present, we honor people with an eye to the resurrection. And then he goes on and he makes a list of really, really difficult to talk about things. He said, let's walk properly. Not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and in jealousy. Why does he list those things? He doesn't list those things because he's a killjoy. He lists those things because those things are actually what dishonoring others looks like. When I drink too much, if I mistreat my body, if I take advantage of someone sexually, if I am manipulative relationally, that's not really honoring to me or to them. What I'm doing is taking advantage of them, and I'm dishonoring them and the image of God in them. So if gospel people honor people, we can have no part in any of these kinds of activities. One commentator says it like this: all six of these vices stem from self-will. They are the outreach of a determined selfishness that seeks only one's own pleasure. You see, at the end of the day, you and I have a choice. Am I going to live for me and take advantage of and dishonor others so that I can build myself that way? Or am I going to live for King Jesus and honor one another, even if it costs me some advantage? And in so doing, bless the people around me and honor the name of King Jesus. That's the choice. And it's our choice not because we're trying to earn anything. It's our choice because this is precisely how Jesus has honored us. Jesus submitted to the governing authorities. Jesus went through a false trial and never once held a protest or a revolution or any of that. Jesus submitted to the governing authorities even as he calls us to. Jesus never owed anyone anything. In fact, Jesus even was faithful to pay his taxes, pulling a gold coin out of a fish and paying taxes for his disciples. He never was on the hook to owe anyone anything. Jesus honored his neighbors, those who were like him and those who aren't. Jesus came not just for the Jewish people, but as a Jewish person, Jesus came through the Jewish people to all the world, even the enemies of the nation of Israel, people who had oppressed them. Jesus honored those around them, and he did this with a view of his own resurrection. He knew that only by obeying his father and only by trusting in what his father had commanded and only by being fully present with the Spirit would the world be remade in his resurrected power. And so for those of us who've trusted in Jesus, honoring others isn't an option. It's a way of life. Around here, that's the kind of church we want to be. We want to create communities. We want to have small groups. We want to have families. We want to create congregations all across the city of Boston and Providence and all across New England. Communities that honor others, not that are there to get anything, but to give everything, even as Jesus Christ gave everything for us. So today, if you belong to King Jesus, what's it going to look like for you to honor the governing authorities? Maybe you need to really change the way you posture yourself on social media. Maybe you need to guard your words. Maybe you need to pray for your leaders instead of picking at them all the time. What's it going to look like for you to honor those that you owe things to? Maybe it means paying your bills on time and getting out of debt and living within your means so that you can be the kind of person who can not just meet their own needs, but as the scriptures say, have seed for sowing and meeting the needs of others. Maybe you need to repent of the way you've treated people and ask yourself, what's it going to look like for me to honor those around me, especially those that don't look like me and don't think like me? Friend, if you do this, I've got great news for you. Jesus is the kind of Savior who's not only got grace enough to forgive you, but power to change you. Power that he demonstrated in his own perfect life, death, and resurrection, whereby he honored us. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, then I want to invite you to become one. Today, our world is filled with fear and hopelessness and difficulty and anger and apathy and all kinds of different forms of anxiety. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ would love to honor you today by receiving all of your fear, doubt, anxiety, and unbelief, and granting to you, honoring you with forgiveness, mercy, and a relationship with God that can only come by turning from sin and trusting in the Savior. If that's something that you'd like to do, you can respond here in this platform that you're watching this sermon on. You can let one of us know by clicking that receive prayer button, or you can even just let us know by shooting us an email or something. We'd love to stand with you and help you find and follow Jesus as his disciples. Friends, he's honored us. So because we are gospel people, let's be people who honor others. Pray with me. God, thank you that you have honored us by sending your son Jesus to live and die and rise, and then pouring out the Holy Spirit to enable our transformation with the promise that one day the world will be renewed. Father, help us to participate in the whole renewal of the world by honoring others and trusting you even when it's hard. Lord, forgive us for the ways that we have been backbiting and like crabs in a bucket pulling down on others, even and especially those who are called to lead us. Lord, help us to be gospel people who honor people, and in this way, honor you too. In Jesus' name, amen.